Hope that you have a handout. If you don't have a handout, you can raise your hand. Ushers can get you one, but we'll begin here. Bingo! The legalists in the crowd are wondering why I'm promoting gambling. Hang in there. Has anyone played bingo before? You know, it's a fun game, and it doesn't really cost you a lot. Anyone playing hopes that they win the jackpot, right? So it's always a fun time that you can play bingo. But where am I going with this? Well, have you ever in your mind yelled out bingo or thought you hit the jackpot with sound Bible teaching? We know that sound, grace-oriented, verse-by-verse biblical teaching is a rarity today. Do you value it? As we will see in our verse today, the role of the pastor in a local church is to teach sound Bible teaching. That's their role. And the responsibility of the taught is to share materially with their pastor. But that's a hard word, I guess. Someone has said that Galatians 6:6 is probably the bluntest verse in the Bible. It is blunt, but it makes it clear what God would have for you this morning. In our continued study of Galatians, Paul in chapter 6 lays out the believer's responsibilities and liberty. And we have seen three of those responsibilities so far, and today we will see one more. So let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read here for a little while and bring you up to speed before we begin our verse this morning. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll read verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. And so that's the passage that we've been studying here, verses 1 through 10. Lays out the responsibilities that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. And so what have we seen so far? Well, we've seen that we're in chapters 5 and 6, which are very practical in nature to Galatians. And chapter 6 specifically is about serving others faithfully in the Spirit by love. You know, in order to do that, you need to walk or conduct yourself in the Spirit of God. This is the verse that provides success for you in your Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life apart from the Spirit of God and your yielded dependence upon Him. And so that is the Christian life victory that you can have if you conduct yourself in the Holy Spirit. And again, walking is just conducting yourself, and you have an option. You can either conduct yourself by the sin nature and do its will, or you can conduct yourself by the Spirit of God and you can do His will. And there's outcomes. And so, you know, you can take a barometer of yourself and see how you have been living the Christian life. If the sins in Galatians 5, 19 through 21 are evident in your Christian life, well, then maybe you haven't been walking by faith in the Christian life. But if verses 22 and 23 are true of you, then you're manifesting the Spirit of God through you. And so either you are carnal or you're spiritual, and that's what we have seen in the past from our studies. And so, but not only that, who you choose to walk with in your Christian life has an outcome and also has a condition, your condition, whether you're going to choose to walk by the flesh or by the Spirit, has an impact on you and also others. And so, you know, that's what we've sought to teach here in the past. You cannot serve and love one another if you are walking by your flesh. The only way that you can love and serve one another, as God would have us to do, as we see here in verse 13 of chapter 5, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You cannot do that if you are entangled with your flesh. The only way that you can do that is if you are walking by means of the Spirit of God in your life. And that is Galatians 5, verse 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh." And so, as we get into chapter 6, you need to walk by faith, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in order to carry out your responsibilities that we see in chapter 6. And chapter 6 is all about serving others faithfully in the Spirit by love. You know, so as you decide to live, walk, or conduct your life in the Spirit of God, the direction of the fruit produced, that the Spirit of God is producing in your life, will be towards others. And God wants you to love and to serve one another. Serving others faithfully will manifest itself practically, and we saw this in verse 1, restoring the overtaken. You know, and what do you do when you notice someone that has departed or fallen in a trespass? Well, God would have us here in verse 1 to restore that believer, to come alongside, to share a verse with them, or to get them basically off of the circumstance that they're in and back on the Lord, and so that they can again walk by the Spirit of God. And so we saw that we are to restore the overtaken. Not only that, to serve others faithfully, we need to relieve burdened believers. We saw that in verses 2 through 5. That if, you know, when we all have hardships, we all have burdens that are that we can't carry ourselves, whether that be a death of a family member or things that are going on in our Christian lives that we have lost hope. And so we are to come alongside those believers and to relieve their burdens. And the number one way that we can relieve burdens is to pray for one another. You know, what greater joy is there than to manifest God's love towards those who have fallen or who have been burdened with a burden? This is one of the many benefits of being part of a local church. You know, church is not just about hearing the Word of God, as we talked about last time. It's also about the one another's. And God wants you to, and He wants to use you to love and to serve others. And so you need to come, be around other believers in order to know if they have burdens, and so that you can then relieve those burdens. But we also saw that you are responsible for your own burdens. You know, we all have our own load to carry, and the load that we need to carry are something that is probably about our own Christian lives, that we need to walk by faith. That is our load that we must carry. But a burden is something that is unbearable. They're crushing weights or loads, and it implies that the person becomes weak as a result of that burden. And so we can come alongside those believers and relieve their burdens. You know, so far we have seen in our studies that as a believer in Jesus Christ who is walking with the Spirit, certain things will be true. You, believer, have a certain responsibility to love and serve others. We have seen that God wants you to restore those who have been overtaken by sin, and He wants you to bear others' heavy loads, and He also wants you to carry your own load. And from our verse today, He wants you to remunerate your Bible teacher. And that is our next section here in our verse, in verse 6. So I went pretty quick there through our past studies. Again, you can always listen to the last two messages to get more details about those two sections. You know, verse 6, again, is all about supporting your pastor-teacher. Pastors are worthy of double honor, which are respect and remuneration for their work. You know, we all have benefited greatly from pastors and teachers in our Christian life, and God wants us to support those who teach us. You know, supporting our pastor is a very normal response of a yielded believer. You know, so before we cover the believer's responsibility in sharing. What is the role of the pastor? And let's start there. Before we do that, let's reread verse 6. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. You know, so the role of the pastor or the teacher is to teach the word of God to others. Obviously, this is a very basic but very foundational role to the local church and your Christian life. And the word teaches, what does that refer to? Well, it means to teach in a systematic or detailed manner. Teaching should be systematic, oral, and face-to-face in a way that leads to understanding by the hearer. It is teaching the Word of God exegetically and expositorily. You know, the teacher should teach so that that the hearer can understand and be taught. We see in in Acts 18, verse 25, this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. And so, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. And that's our goal as teachers here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, to teach accurately the things of the Lord. But not only that, we want the hearers to understand the word so that it can have an impact on your life. Luke 1:4, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. And he's talking to what's the guy's name in Luke? Theophilus. And he's writing to Theophilus so that he can understand, because Luke had previously talked to him, and he's writing so that he could understand more and that he can have certainty in those things which he was instructed. And that's what we want here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, not only to teach, but so that you can have certainty in the Word of God and that you can know it. You know, that at Grace Gospel Bible Church, the teaching portion is the most important part of our service, and we dedicate over an hour to it. In Scripture, there is no prescribed length of time to teach, but we believe it should have the emphasis when the saints meet. You know, and when Paul would preach, he would teach for a day, and obviously we don't want to be teaching for a day. I would get weary in doing that. But, you know, we've chosen to, here at church, to teach for an hour. Our whole service is about an hour and a half. We have a half-hour worship portion where we sing songs that we can know, and so that those songs based upon the Word of God, we can learn different things about the Word of God. We can know more things about Jesus Christ. And then throughout the week, we can meditate upon the Word of God. We can think about those songs to remind us of the Word of God or to remind us of Jesus Christ. And if you're not coming to our song portion, you're missing out, because that's a time where you can be encouraged upon the Word of God. You can be encouraged with music. And, you know, God has put a new song in our heart when we were saved, and He wants you to sing and to worship with Him. And, you know, and if you don't like singing today, you know, one day when you're in eternity, you're going to be singing forever. So you might as well get used to it. You might as well come out and sing praises to God, because you're going to be singing praises to God for in eternity. You know, and we know in 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul instructed Timothy until he came, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And that is our mission as well here as teachers at Grace Gospel Bible Church. Colossians 1:27 through 29, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach. Jesus Christ is the person that we preach, and we want to warn every man and teach every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. And so that is our goal, so that we can teach you, and that we can bring you to wisdom, and that we can one day, even us, we can have a well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what we want as teachers here. The elders here want to teach so that you can understand. Haddon Robinson, who we studied in Gibbs, he has a book on expository preaching. And we studied his definition of expository preaching, and it goes like this. Expository preaching is the communication of a biblical concept derived from and transmitted through a historical, grammatical, and literary study of a passage and its context, which the Holy Spirit first applies to the personality and experience of the preacher, then through the preacher applies to the hearers. And so as we are studying the Word of God ourselves and preparing for speaking, we want to have time so that the Spirit of God can get into our thinking and that we can understand it, so then that we can then communicate it and apply it to the hearers. And that's our goal as teachers here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. You know, and should we take this role seriously? Yes, one day, anyone who teaches will give an account to what they said. Teachers will be held to a stricter judgment. We know in James 3:1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." There is a stricter judgment at the Bema for those who are teaching. And why is that? Well, because we can have a positive or negative influence on you. Teachers want to cut it straight so that the Word of God can be clearly taught so that it can transform people. You know, think of all the false teachers out there, even like a John MacArthur, who once was teaching it clear, but he got off track. And just think of all the people that he's led astray through Lordship salvation. And so he's going to have a stricter judgment and the influence that he has had on many people. And so we want to take this role seriously, as we want to cut it straight and we want to teach it clearly and accurately. Which leads me to the next point here. Is sound teaching important? Well, we have seen these truths in the past, but it is worth repeating. Sound teaching is very important, and it is the basis by which we here at Grace Gospel Bible sound teaching is important, and it is the basis by which we meet here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. And so what is the first blank there in your handout? Sound teaching is essential for proper spiritual nourishment and growth. Nourishment and growth. And without sound teaching, you cannot grow. You know, you can't grow unless you know the Word of God, something that can be applied in your life. We know in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And we know that we need the Word of God. We know that we need sound teaching in order to grow. And that is what you need as well. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may become complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so in order for you to grow, to be instructed in the way of righteousness, you need to know the Word of God. And you need to have sound teaching in order for you to know the Word of God. The next one, sound teaching is to be the preaching menu for the faithful pastor teacher. You know, if you're a regular attendee here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, you can be exposed to a lot of different studies. I've been teaching out of the book of Galatians for a long period of time here. Anytime that I have an opportunity, I speak out of Galatians. But we've also been exposed to Ephesians lately, dispensations, Philippians, Psalms, James, and then a plethora of other miscellaneous studies. And so we have an extensive preaching menu here. And so those that are regular attendees have been exposed to a lot of different things from the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:1-4 says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." And that's what Paul encouraged Timothy to do, is to preach the word. And as pastors, or as pastors and teachers here at a local assembly, we want to preach the word as well. Be ready in season and out of season. We want to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And so we want to continue to have sound teaching so that we can preach the word, that we can continue to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. You know, some of you appreciate the ribeye steak and come regularly, but some of you would prefer junk food that comes from the world and don't make a priority for teaching. Junk food over time will ruin your life and your soul. You know, and Pastor last time talked about a mugwump, which is kind of a funny term, but I was thinking about a mugwump who is dining on junk food. That's the mugwumps. You don't want to be a mugwump dining on junk food. But I know junk food is, it's sweet. There's pleasure in sin for a while. And we know that we, though, as believers in Jesus Christ, need to be exposed to sound teaching so that we can be clear. And God wants us to be clear in our Christian lives. Our next one is sound teaching is necessary for maintaining practical unity among believers. Without sound teaching, believers will not have a unified message to believe. And we know in Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they agreed? Well, they can't. And so unless there's a sound teaching that's being taught where people can understand it and they can believe it and they can be on the same page, you can never walk together unless you are agreed. You know, the Word of God can be the basis of practical unity among believers. Ephesians 4:11-13, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so, the Word of God can unify us around a clear message. Not only that, but sound teaching is the means of spiritual stability. You know, you never have to doubt the Word of God. And because we can trust in our God and what He has provided through His Son, we can have stability. Sound, clear, accurate teaching allows for stability in your life. Ephesians 4:14-16 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. You know, that is a very unstable person, someone that's been tossed to and fro. And typically that's through false teaching. They get on some type of false teaching, and so they've been tossed to and fro. And then all of a sudden they get on sound teaching, and then they desire junk food again, so they go back to false teaching. And that is not a spiritually stable person. Sound teaching, though, is the means for spiritual stability, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things to Him, into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So sound teaching can be the very means of spiritual stability for you. So as you can trust the Word of God, you can rely upon it, and sound teaching can perpetuate it as well. Sound teaching is the very baton of truth God wants perpetually passed on. And so we know that God wants you to share what you know with others, and it's the very baton of truth that God wants you to pass. You know, what we've learned in Gibbs, and the whole purpose of Gibbs, is to train and to equip men so that they can train and teach others. You know, what you learn here at church, God wants you to train and equip your kids, your friends, and others with the Word of God. And God wants that truth to be passed on. He doesn't want you just to take that truth and not share it. God wants you to pass that truth on. And just think, the Apostle Paul was writing in this verse here to 2 Timothy, and to Timothy here in 2 Timothy, but Timothy was faithful, and he chose to pass that on. And then Timothy's hearers chose to pass that on, and to pass that on, and to pass that on. And eventually got to, whether it be Leonard Racky, through Pastor Rockster, to Pastor Dave, and now through me, so that I can pass on the truth of God. And just think of that. God wants you as well to continue to pass on truth that you've been taught. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that is our desire as well here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, to teach clearly and accurately. We want to teach truth so that you can be convinced of it, that you can believe it, that can have a practical impact on your life, and then that you can tell others about it as well. Sound teaching. Next one here, sound teaching needs to be contended for against false teaching. You know, even in our verse here and in our chapter, our book here, Galatians, chapter 5, stand fast, in verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So there's this element of standing fast. It needs, sound teaching needs to be contended for. Even in this, the context of Galatians was that legalistic Judaizers were coming and tainting the message and introducing law to grace. And that was a distortion. And Paul is writing to the Galatian believers here, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. Contend for the truth that I've taught you. And that is what we want to do as well. Jude 3 through 4, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the truth of God needs to be contended for against false teaching, because we know that there's false teachers out there, and we need to know the Word of God well so that we can not only stand fast in it, but we can also accurately tell others about it. Where else is sound teaching important? Well, sound teaching is to be preserved by biblical separation when necessary. 2 John 7 through 11. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. And so there's certain false teachers here that John was writing about that taught that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. He's basically warning them about that. And he's further describing here that you should not receive them into their house, into your house, or greet them. And so, you know, you think about Jehovah's Witnesses that come to your house. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was a Son of God, that he's deity. And so you would do well to not greet them or receive them into your home, because they are teaching a perversion. They're false teachers. And God wants you to separate from them when necessary. And obviously you can try to convince them that of the grace of God and the gospel and that type of thing. But if they don't want to listen, then you need to separate. We know even in Romans 16, 17 through 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So that's mark and avoid those false teachers, and we need to separate from them because they will have a negative impact on you, and they easily can deceive you if you believe them. And then that will lead them to spiritual instability and a whole plethora of different things, where you will not then walk with the Spirit of God, and there's a whole domino effect when we expose our mind to false teaching. And so we need to mark those and avoid them. And sound teaching can be the very means for you to understand what is true, what is accurate. You know, as you study your own Bible, you can check it out, and you can see that what the truth that is presented is clear and accurate. And sound teaching allows for that. You know, so sound teaching is very important, and then that's what we aim to do whenever there's a teacher here teaching you, is to be sound and clear and accurate. But, you know, one thing that kind of behind the scenes of what we try to do as well as teachers here at Grace Gospel Bible Church, we utilize a CAPS method, where we want to be clear, accurate, practical, and simple. That is what we try to do. in presenting truth to you. We want to be very clear, and we also want to be Christ-centered in our messages. We want to have Christ set forth in whatever teaching that we do. We want to be accurate. We want to cut it straight. We want to be practical. There's some churches out there that do not like practical messages, and they just want to know truth, and just appease their mind, I guess. But they don't actually want practical type teaching, where they actually have to then apply the Word of God. Because you know what? When it comes to applying the Word of God, it's messy. It's difficult at times. And that's where the rubber hits the road, if you will, and where you have to actually trust in the Word of God, that you have to actually walk by faith. Because it's easier to talk about something, but it's a lot harder to actually walk the walk, if you will. And so we want to be very practical in our teaching, and so that you can understand it. And we want to be simple. Not that the Word of God is simple, but we want to explain it in a simple way that you can understand it, that you can believe it, and that you can then apply it in your Christian life. And obviously, as a speaker, they want to be Spirit-filled in order to be as effective as possible. We want the Word of God to be simple and understandable so that you can be taught the Word of God and apply it in your life. Ultimately, you need to trust the Word of God in situations in your life. You need to walk by faith in order for the Word of God to have an effect on you. You know, so do you value sound teaching? Do you value it enough to regularly attend or to hear it? Do you value the local church? Do you value it enough to support the Word of God and the local church? And Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also buy wisdom, buy instruction, and buy understanding." It's truth is expensive at times, and we want to buy it and not sell it. So we have covered the teacher's role, but what is the hearer's responsibility from our verse? And let's reread verse 6. "Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." You know, this verse indicates that we have an obligation as believers to support the pastor teacher. As a commentator said, that this is probably the bluntest verse in the Bible, but we can appreciate its clarity. You know, and our next point here is, you are responsible to share in all good things with the teacher of the Word of God. What does share mean? Well, share means to share one's possessions with the implication of some kind of joint participation and mutual interest. And so the teacher has shared the Word of God with you. Now, as a hearer, they are to share back with the pastor or the teacher. The man who is being taught the Christian message should share all good things that he has with his teacher. The verb is in a present tense, active voice, and imperative mood, meaning sharing is a command that we are to follow, which should be ongoing in our Christian lives. When walking with the Lord, the Spirit of God will do the will of God and will lead you to share with your teacher. You know, and we know from other passages that Paul and others expounded more on this. Philippians 4:14 through 19. "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared." And so the Philippian church in Philippi shared with Paul. They shared in my distress. "Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." So the church in Philippi supported Paul through his endeavors when he went on his missionary journeys. "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." You know, and even Jesus Christ, as we'll see here, doesn't necessarily care about the amount that you give, but it's the attitude in your giving that he likes, because God loves a cheerful giver. "Indeed, I have all and abound, for I am full, having received from Epaphroditus, the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." You know, and we know that, you know, as we give, and support. You know, Jesus Christ is, and God is ultimately providing our needs. And so if God knows that you're wanting to support and wanting to give, He will provide that. And you have to trust that He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Not that there's a prosperity means in there, but there is an element of God does provide all of your needs. And so if you are convinced that you want to give with a glad and cheerful heart, God will provide for that and allow for it. Romans 15:27, it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles had been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. And so we see that if we've been benefited from the Word of God, our duty is to minister to them in material things. Minister to the teachers with material things. Hebrews 13:15 through 17, therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So God wants you to share, and that sacrifices God is well pleased with that. 1 Timothy 6:18, and he's talking to people that are wasting their money, basically. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And that's what God wants for you, is to, again, share with others. 1 Timothy 5:17 through 18, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out to grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. And that's an Old Testament principle that Paul here has carried forward even into the church, that the people who teach, those that are pastors, you should not muzzle them, and the laborer is worthy of their wages, and they are to be counted for double honor. And let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9:7-14 to see another passage here on supporting and sharing with others, and specifically a pastor teacher. 1 Corinthians 9:7. You know, and Paul here is instructing the Corinthian believers to provide for those people that are preaching the gospel to them. Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say that these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? And it did. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? As we'll see here, verse 10, or does He say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. And so those that are serving, those that are doing God's will and those types of things, they should hope that they will receive the fruit of their labor. If we have sown spiritual things for you, it is a great thing that we reap your material things. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right. Paul never utilized his right to ask for material things, but endure all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the holy things of the temple? And they did in the Old Testament. And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. Even so, now, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And so that's what God would have even for a local church. Those that are preaching, those that are teaching, to be provided from the church, and that they would the hearers would share their materials with those that are teaching. You know, based on these verses, God wants believers to support their pastor teacher. God wants you to share with your teacher. And what are you to share again with your teachers? Well, all good things, which are possessions which provide material benefits. The New American Standard Version, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches them. It is God's will for the believer to share in an ongoing effort all good things with his pastor. Those who learn from Bible teachers who provide the spiritual needs of others should provide them with all good things, including but not limited to their physical needs. Bible Knowledge Commentary had an interesting perspective. One responsibility of each believer is to shoulder the financial support of the pastor teacher in the church. Perhaps the Judaizers had influenced some of the believers to slack off in their support of the teacher, a special group who were giving their full time to the ministry and who were reimbursed for their labors. This concept of voluntary giving to provide for the Lord's servants was revolutionary, since the Jews were taxed for the support of their priests and Gentiles paid fees, made vows, etc., to sustain their religions. The admonition is clear that as a teacher shares the good things of the Word of God, a believer is to reciprocate by sharing all good things with his instructor. You know, Constable wrote, Paul regarded the acceptance of gifts as a right that one could claim or not claim, depending on other factors. He did not regard accepting such gifts as the teacher's duty, but that offering them was the learner's duty. And so we have a duty as hearers of the Word of God to support immaterial things to those that are teaching the Word of God. You know, as I was thinking about this, you know, what things typically get in the way of this command? And maybe you've thought about these things in the past or have had this perspective in the past. And this is not an exhaustive list, but I came up with ways. Why do some believers not support their pastor teacher? And I'm not saying that this is true of you today, but I want to, again, challenge your thinking if some of these things are true in your thinking. You know, you don't value the Word of God. You know, and so if you don't value the Word of God, or you think that it'll be around forever, the teaching of the Word of God, you may choose not to support it. Because, you know, it's always going to be around. It's not a big deal. I can go anywhere I want to go. And ultimately, I don't value sound teaching, and so I'm not going to support it. And that's maybe a perspective that you have had. You take the Word of God for granted. You think it's going to be taught clearly and accurately forever. You know, without this church would die up in a heartbeat. We know that we don't have as many funds as other churches out there, and within a year, you know, we could dry up without the support of believers here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. And so if we were to take the Word of God for granted that, you know, I could go anywhere and hear this, the Word of God taught clearly and accurately, it's not a big thing, I don't have to give, this church would die in a year or less. Another thing that could be your perspective: you are focusing on personality of the preacher. You know, something annoys you about the preacher, so you withhold your money or your support. You know, something that the pastor does annoys you, or you're focusing on the personality of him, as opposed to understanding Galatians 6:6, that those who are hearing the word, those that are being taught, are to share as a command, share with those that are teaching. And so sometimes we can get hung up on the personality of the preacher, and therefore, you know, I'm not going to give to this preacher because I don't really like something about him. He, whatever. Whatever some personality trait that you don't like. You're holding a grudge. You know, maybe the pastor has maybe offended you in the past or has gotten on your case in the past, and you won't let it go. You're holding a grudge. And so that may be a reason why you don't support the local teaching. You don't have a grace perspective. You could be a legalist. You have performance-based thinking. If he teaches what I want to hear, then he gets my support. You know, you think the pastor has enough money therefore I don't need to give. You know, and I've heard this from people in the past. You know, a pastor bought a new TV. Oh, this is years ago. And so someone told me that, you know, I don't really need to support him anymore because he bought a new TV. So obviously that person was not thinking about what God would have for them. He was holding some type of grudge, and that got in the way of his understanding of supporting his local church and pastor. You have a negative attitude. You don't realize that all that you have is provided by God. You think that the money that you have is yours, and therefore it is yours, and you you don't need to give it to the local church. You know, you don't believe that God will replenish what you give. God wants you to wants to use you to support the teaching. Even we saw in Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ." And so, you know, when we think that God, or that the money that we have is just ours, you know, we are typically or holding that to ourselves and not wanting it to go anywhere else. But if we realize that God has provided all of our needs, God is the one who continues to give us what we need and supply our every need, we can then have a perspective that, you know what, I'm going to give and all because God wants me to give and support the local church. God wants me to give and support the local pastor. And if it's God's will that I do that, God then will supply my need. You don't have a sacrificial perspective. You know, God wants you to give sacrificially. You know, this means that you may need to choose not to spend your money on something in order to give. Sacrificial giving means that you have to sacrifice something else in order to give. And that may be true of you as well. You know, do you give what is left over or do you give off the top? And not that, you know, I'm challenging your thinking on all of this. Do you give just, well, I have this left over and, you know, maybe I, you know, rather than go on maybe on a boat ride, maybe I'll give them to the pastor instead. And not having a perspective in your mind that, you know what, I'm going to, I always want to try to give this amount or whatever. You don't have a sacrificial perspective. And that could influence you and may be why you're not giving to your local church. A couple verses on this. Hebrews 13:16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We saw that verse already. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. In this context, again, is in the giving in the local church. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. You know, you have to be mindful of what you're going to give and how much you're going to give. And not grudgingly. Nothing that, you know, we've never here at Grace Gospel Bible Church said, you need to give this amount and you need to give it regularly, or you need to do it this way. Some type of arm bar or some type of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, and again, it's not the amount that you give. God wants a cheerful giver, someone who has a perspective that I'm gonna walk in God's will. God, I know that God wants me to support the local church. You know, maybe I only have a penny to give. Would God be pleased with that penny? He would be. And so we need to be cheerful in our giving as well. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. You know, in the Old Testament, the first fruits was the best crop. It was picked from the middle, and it was the best, and it was a predicament of how the crop was going to yield. And that first fruit was good. And so Proverbs, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all of your increase. And that is kind of what I talked about. Are you giving what is left over? Or are you giving what is off the top? 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. You know, sometimes, you know, obviously everyone has to, before the Lord, choose what they do and choose and believe it themselves and to choose to give or not give and those types of things. But Paul here wanted the Corinthians to let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And so he's instructing here all to give and to lay something aside. You know, and you ultimately, like I said, have to choose before the Lord what you do. I'm not telling you what you need to do, but I know from the Word of God and even our verse here in Galatians 6:6 that God wants you to support the local teaching and to support the local church and even some of the verses that I've went over here this morning. You know, God is after the right attitude and not the amount. God wants to use you and the money that you have to give and to support the local church and the teaching of the Word of God. You know, in the next set of verses, 7 through 8, Paul reminds the Galatian believers of a universal promise and premise. The Spirit of God will lead you to share with those who teach you. Those that share will reap an abundant life. Those that don't share are only serving themselves. Their attitudes are negative, and they are sowing seeds of corruption. And we're going to study this next time, but it's interesting that Paul here lays out verses 7 through 8 right after supporting your pastor. Verse 7 of Galatians 6, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You know, there's no value in spending money foolishly. This only leads to corruption. But when we spend our resources that God has given us on things of the Spirit, we will reap life. You know, and the reward may not be immediate, and it may not even be on earth, but we know that the reward will be in heaven for sure. And we definitely don't want to support false teachers, as that would be foolish, and that would be sowing seeds of corruption in your life. And so one thing that Warren Wiersbe here said, the believer who listens to the word should share material blessings with those who teach. This is a lesson of verses 6 through 8. We often apply these verses to reaping what we sow in terms of sin, and certainly this principle is true, which in a general context, that's what we'll be teaching next time. But the basic lesson here is that of giving, to share. This principle is stated in Romans 15:27, which we saw, where we receive spiritual blessings, we have the privilege and obligation of sharing material blessings. Sowing to the flesh means living for the flesh, investing time and money on things that will not last. Sowing to the Spirit means spending time and money on the things eternal. How many Christians use their time and money is merely time minted so that we can spend it again on things fleshly, and they wonder why they never grow in grace or reap spiritual fruits? An interesting perspective there by Warren Wiersbe. So how does all this apply to you? Well, if you're not saved, these verses are not for you. God has provided salvation to you for free. All you need to do is trust in Jesus Christ and His finished work, and you can be saved. Then you can get under sound teaching, and then you can then support it as you are led by the Spirit of God. If you're saved here today, you know, you need to walk by faith in the Spirit of God. The Spirit will lead you to give and to share with your pastor teacher. You know, you need to pray about how you should give and let the Lord and the Spirit of God lead you. Sound teaching needs to be contended for, and you are to purchase the truth and sell it not. Hopefully you value the Word of God and the teaching that happens here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. You know, if you are a part of a local church that has sound, clear, grace-oriented teaching, you have hit the jackpot. And let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time here that we can study this one verse here on in Galatians 6:6 about sharing material things with our pastor teacher, Father, who teaches us regularly. Father, we thank you for Pastor Dave and what he's continues to do here at Grace Gospel Bible Church. We pray as believers here, Father, that we can take what is said from your word and we can apply it in our lives, that we can just do your will, and that we can choose to honor you, Father. We pray for that. We just even pray for this week, Father, that we can walk with you and depend upon you in all things, Father, as we want to make our lives count for you. We want to hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant, Father, when we see you in eternity. And we hope that even in the next moment here, Father, we can be raptured and we can spend eternity with you, Father. We pray for that as well. And we thank you for this time now in Christ's name. Amen.